Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So the Supreme Court's session winds down, and we expect decisions on four remaining cases, two involving the First Amendment. Joining us now is Jeffrey Rosen, professor of law at George Washington University, legal affairs editor at The New Republic, and author of The Supreme Court, The Personalities and Rivalries That Defined America. Professor Rosen, good morning.
Good morning.
You're out in Aspen, Colorado at the Ideas Festival out there, where you're going to spend a good chunk of time with some fairly important legal minds, including some sitting Supreme Court justices.
Yes, Justice O'Connor and Justice Breyer are out here, and we've got a good panel this afternoon about the role of money in politics with Justice O'Connor. So because the court may well issue an opinion striking down an Arizona public financing law, I think it'll be interesting to ask her what she thinks of the decision. She said she would have voted the other way in the Citizens United decision, so the world would be a very different place if she were still on the Supreme Court.
Oh, boy, it's for sure.
It's going to be a good conversation.
Talk about the Arizona case that is at issue this morning.
So this is a public financing law that was passed by referendum in Arizona by voters who were very frustrated with what they perceived as corruption in elections. And it provides a subsidy for candidates whose opponents spend more than a particular amount. And this is being challenged before the court on the First Amendment grounds. And the question is, will these public subsidies be struck down just as corporate speech was in Citizens United? The court has not ruled squarely on this question, but in a case a few years ago called the Davis case, it did seem to suggest that any kind of public subsidy might be constitutionally problematic. And at the oral argument, the supporters of the law had a really tough time. So I think no one will be surprised if this is just one more case in which public financing is struck down in the name of the First Amendment today.
And the issue there, and I want to move on to the next case, though, but the issue there is basically that a subsidy can't be distinguished from a state-based endorsement of a certain candidacy, right?
Correct. You're singling out certain kinds of candidates and speech for favored treatment based
right.
on their political message, and that's a First Amendment violation, the argument goes.
Let's talk about a case which we expect to be decided this week, California law, which prohibits minors from buying so-called mature video games. This seems to be an interesting look at the First Amendment and something that's going to have to be looked at again as we get more into this kind of online world.
It's fascinating. It really is the First Amendment confronting new technologies. And this is a law in California that bans the sale of violent video games to minors under the age of 18. What's striking is the consensus in courts that have confronted this. Every lower court that's looked at this case has struck down the law. And at the Supreme Court, there just seemed to be a broad bipartisan consensus that this was troubling on First Amendment grounds. The court has never before allowed the banning of speech for minors except sexual speech. And they seem very reluctant to create a new category of violence for minors, asking, you know, how would you distinguish between Grimm's fairy tales and a bad video game? There was this great moment in the oral argument where Justice Antonin Scalia, who was very skeptical about the law on the grounds that the First Amendment was originally intended to protect portrayals of violence, provoked this sharp rejoinder from Justice Samuel Alito, who said, what Justice Scalia wants to know is what James Madison would have thought of video games. And Scalia shot back, no, I want to know what James Madison would have thought about violence. So you could well see a broad bipartisan majority striking this law down on free speech grounds, and that would be awfully interesting and significant.
Well, but that moment, let's pull that out a little bit. I mean, you know, you've got speech traditionally thought of as a kind of passive transaction between consumers of speech and creators of speech, and always the law has been to give the widest possible diversity to consumers of speech and to not restrict the creators of speech to preserve that diversity. In the video game world, though, you have a kind of an existential quality where people get online and play video games. What if there was a video game, Jeffrey Rosen, called Bring Down the Government of the United States? Would the court look at 20,000 people playing that game as a conspiracy or as a public meeting?
What a great question. You should be teaching law school. That's more than a hypothetical. And there was a case sort of like this recently about virtual portrayals of violence and assassination. Could, you know, the speech portraying assassination violate the First Amendment, which provoked an interesting split. There was the violent child pornography case. There's a fantasy about child pornography, is that the same as the real thing? And there the court said no. So then also last year there was the Crush video case where the
right.
court 8-1 struck down this law prohibiting violent crush videos for animals, these awful laws that Congress banned on the grounds that hunting and another protected expression could be banned too. Only Justice Alito dissented in that case. So as you say, as we're moving in a world where the consumers of games are also creators, the line between the speaker and the receiver of the speech is being blurred, and this is just the beginning of a series of fascinating cases that the court's going to have to confront.
Well, it's an epical sort of beginning, Jeffrey Rosen. It sounds like you better get to work on a book on this. Take us out on Sorrell versus IMS Health, the Vermont law that restricted marketing of pharmaceuticals. That's the other case.
Well, that was really interesting, too. That was decided last week, and there by a 6-3 vote, the court strikes down a Vermont law protecting the privacy of patients. Basically, the law prohibited Vermont from gathering prescription information and then using it for data mining and then marketing to doctors, basically saying lots of people are buying this kind of drug, you should push this to your patients. Privacy groups supported this law, the voters supported it, but the court struck it down. Interestingly, the conservatives were joined by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who agreed that this was a violation of the First Amendment because a particular category of speech, namely data mining for commercial purposes, was being disfavored and nothing else.
Interesting.
The dissenters were very upset. They said this is a bad for privacy, and again, when we think about epical things in the future, in a world where the only way to restrict data mining and informational privacy is through statutes like this, we may see a whole series of First Amendment clashes along these lines,
Absolutely. Too. Lots of ideas to think about there at the Aspen Ideas Festival. Jeffrey Rosen, thanks so much.
Great. Pleasure as always.
Professor of Law at George Washington University and author of The Supreme Court, The Personalities and Rivalries That Defined America. As always, you can call us too. Weigh in at 877-8-MY-TAKE or subscribe to get our texts by texting the word START to 69866. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste Headlee is out for just a few more days enjoying this summer. This is The Takeaway.